everyone.
Woo!
Yeah, 2019. Hopefully it's not a train wreck.
I was just going to say, if it's half the dumpster fire 2018 was.
I'd settle for like a quarter, like any like downturn in the dumpster fire. Like if it could not smell like burning trash all the time. Oh, Stacey doesn't like her wine.
I don't.
Stand by for the Sophia to be busted out. I'm waiting to see the little pink straw get pulled out of her pocket. It's okay. I have a backup.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to episode 82 of the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
And I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And we're coming to you. Just us, like always.
Yep. That's it. But it's 2019 us, so watch out, world.
And I'd also just like to say, we didn't skip one single episode through the holidays, and a lot of my favorite podcasts totally skipped episodes, and I'm real proud of us. We made it all the way through. Not that we, like, do a tremendous amount of research or, like, preparing for ours, but we haven't missed a single one. Okay.
Go us.
Man, I know, I'm pretty impressed. I feel like there's a lot of stuff I should have done during the holidays that I didn't, but this was one of those things that I...
You showed up.
Yeah. You showed up for
it. We show up. And I noticed that we do have a listener in the Dakotas, so my apologies for me hating on you.
Two.
I wonder if it's one from North and one from South.
No, both from South Dakota, so...
Well, North Dakota can suck it.
Well, easy. You can't take that shit back. This is why you could never run for office. All right. Tonight, I am drinking The Crusher. Wah! It's a Pinot Noir from Napa. And the back says, our Pinot Noir grapes are grown in the windswept California sunshine. And every fall, we deliver them to The Crusher. Once there, we carefully craft a wine with fruit-forward aromas in an elegantly smooth finish. All right, this isn't the worst one we've read, but it's not the best either, and it's definitely not funny. But the wine's good.
So I'm doing the most basic white girl thing on the planet
ever.
And I'm drinking the Final Rose Rosé from The Bachelorette.
Stop. Where did you find this?
It came in my case of wine. And I was like, and it was a double. So I was like, oh, I'll just drink it because, like, we were just hanging out. And I was like, I don't want that. I'm going to open it. And it was so damn good. It's the best rosé I've ever had. And that's, like, that's saying a lot. Especially, and it's not even a screw cap. So I'm going to read you the back. The Final Rose. Will you accept this final rose, or in this case, rosé? Inspired by the hit television series The Bachelorette, this delicate California rosé is breathtakingly light and crisp. The wine's nuanced flavors and blush pink color make it a perfect companion. I don't know what that word is. For bachelor viewing parties or for celebrating life's most swoon-worthy moments.
Are you going to start like crying in a minute and talking about how Janice just doesn't understand your life story or like.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I've actually never seen The Bachelor.
I haven't either. I'm guessing. I'm just
You've
taking a shot.
You've never seen The Bachelor.
Does that really surprise you?
No, but I feel like I've seen enough memes.
Yeah.
I've seen enough memes and like headlines that I just know all about it. I don't even need to watch it.
I just like this I have a hard time with.
Never seen it.
You'll
never
recover.
Once. Okay, and this is a great you're liking this.
It's fantastic.
I would just like to say, I feel like I got a lot of shit for drinking rosé every week. And then when rosé is delicious and doesn't turn on you like this wine
one
does.
One time.
One.
Even a blind chicken gets a piece of corn every now and then. Just statistically speaking, one will be good.
Right. That.
Right. But I'm just saying, I haven't met very many rosés I didn't like.
We know. Everyone knows you like the Hello Kitty rosé, and I don't even think that's. I think it's
rosé.
Meant to
that
be
was
a
like
joke.
A Riesling, like I don't. And it was not great. If Hello Kitty makes a rosé, please send it to me because I think I need it.
It's just juice.
Not juice. You guys are jerks. Okay, I'm really sad because I don't have the bottle with me, so I don't have a description for my wine, I just realized, but I could give you some tasting notes on it. So I am drinking the Curious Beasts Chardonnay, which didn't you have the, and I just realized that I thought I sent you a picture of the bottle, and I don't know who I sent that to. So somebody got a picture of my...
Someone's like, okay.
Of my label of my wine bottle. That's kind of funny.
Cool.
So it's the Curious Beast Chardonnay, but didn't somebody else drink one of the Curious Beasts?
I feel like I did,
We've
yes.
drank and a lot of wine.
That's it. You bring up a fair point. And didn't you like it?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't remember. I feel like I saw this and I was like, well, Stacey had one of the red wines, so I'm sure the Chardonnay will be good. Wrong. So far, it's not great. And I even tried to branch out because I was like, I only drink red and rosé. So let me get a Chardonnay and I'm going to try to, like, it's rough.
Gross.
I'm hoping that air will help it.
I had a Chardonnay the other day that tasted like soap.
Oh, put some ice cubes in it.
You know what? This one's dry. I am wondering if maybe it's still just a little too warm. It's a little better now after the like fourth drink. The first sip, I'm not going to lie, was like shocking to my system and it was terrible. I don't love Chardonnay. It tastes like Chardonnay. Maybe ice would help.
Water it down a little
Or bit. Like red wine.
Right.
And you have like a little red wine in here. And like some cranberry juice, some kind of juice. Put that in it.
Ooh, Sprite. Like
a red wine spritzer.
I wish our listeners could see like how many appearances Piper makes in these episodes. Like she jumps across, jumps across like some like crazed jumping horse. It's so funny.
I will say, like, I don't know if like, I feel like dog people get this and then people who aren't dog people are like, okay, whatever. But like this dog has so much personality. It's kind of funny because like Lila, you couldn't see the whites of her eyes at all because they were just dark. They took up her whole eye lid. So creepy. This one constantly looks like she's rolling her eyes at me because if she turns them a certain way, then you can see the whites of them. And I'm like, stop doing that, first of all. And then if she has something she's not supposed to have, she like swings her hips like when she walks away, like she's on Mad Men, like like a real Betty Boop kind of hip swing. And I went, get out.
Sounds
of here.
Like the like, perfect dog for you.
Right?
That is dog. She was alone for a long time today.
If you could get her a small can of Sophia, I think your Christmas cards for next year are done. Rose?
For Christmas, Santa brought her a stuffed champagne bottle, like a toy, like a squeaky toy.
Nice.
She's always trying to drink my wine and she's not old enough yet.
Do we still talk about Santa like he's real in front of Piper?
No, we do. All her presents were to Piper from Santa. Oh. And as I was writing it, I was like, do I really want my dog thinking that some like white guy bought her these presents? Because my hard-earned money.
I don't think she thought that.
You think she knows? It was funny too because I was wrapping them and I was like, don't watch this. So she'd watch me like take a toy out of a bag and then tell her she couldn't have it for 45 minutes.
Yeah, Lex hides the gifts for the animals too. And I'm like, what are you fucking doing? They don't.
I hid them too. But then when I was wrapping them, as I like pulled them out of the thing they were in, she like saw
them.
You're
talking about creatures that lick their own asshole. Like they don't care about Christmas.
She certainly learned how to unwrap presents real quick. And I was like, it's so cute. And I was taking pictures and stuff. And then I realized I had presents still under my tree, including Stacy's, which now has a big hole in it because she keeps trying to unwrap them. And then I'm like telling her not to. At the same time, I'm like, this is my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't know the difference. She can't read.
She can't?
Not yet.
What kind of puppy training do you have her in?
7 months old.
All right. Let's we are going to talk about our New Year's and some things that annoy us and that we like about New Year's, because we can't talk about anything without talking about what annoys us about it. We are going to save 20 minutes to do that, but first we have to talk about this government shutdown.
What government?
So I think it's kind of like flown under the radar because it was like the holidays and a lot of things are already closed anyway, like federal holidays and stuff. There's a lot of buildings that are, you know, you already can't get into and stuff. Yeah. I do think it's funny that Trump is on tape saying he will take the blame for this shutdown, and now he's saying it's the Democrats' fault. It was the Democrats. Yeah. It's really impressive. And then his little minions like all form their little line of get him. Let's see the liberal tears. And like, yeah, it's Chuck and Nancy's fault. Man. They won't give him the border wall. They won't give him $5 billion for the border wall. Well, yeah, because the Congress and the Senate are responsible for funding plethora of programs, and $5 billion is a lot of fucking money. It's also important to note that they offered him $1.8 billion to beef up border security to help better fund ICE and patrols and to make sure that they have the things needed down there. Wasn't Mexico paying for this stupid wall?
Yeah, that's what I don't get, is how all these dum-dums are like, let's start a GoFundMe so we don't pay for it out of
if
tax
they
dollars.
Can
no
if they
why
can,
are you paying for it?
Hey, let them raise their money. If they want to raise their money, it's not coming out of tax dollars. And it's not just as simple as people are, once again, there's zero nuance to any of this. Like it's not just as simple as the Democrats don't want to build the wall. There's many reasons to be fundamentally against the wall. Number one, Democrats are not for open borders. Let's get that out of the way right now. Right. I mean, I'm sure some are. I can't speak for all Democrats. But
that's
not
like a fundamental belief
right,
in our party.
Right. But the fact is, borders or walls don't stop illegal immigration, because the vast majority of them are coming here legally and overstaying their visas. It's a waste of fucking money. Secondly, yes. There's that land that he wants to build the wall on. It belongs to people right now. So you have the government, essentially all these people who are like, I should be able to carry my gun anywhere, and you're going to pry it out of my cold, dead hands and let freedom ring, and fuck you. My eagle's going to eat your face. You're talking about the government coming in and seizing citizens' property to build a wall. How would you feel if the government came in and was like, I'm going to take your house? You're like, where am I going to live? Not my problem. I'm going to take your house because I want to put a fountain here. What? That's what you're talking about. Like, these people are going to lose their property because it's going to be seized by eminent domain for the government to build a wall. So that in and of itself is an issue. The other part is you have the Rio Grande, which like putting a wall through that is damn near impossible. And it's a huge water source. And you could, I don't know if anyone, any of you Republicans that listen to us, South Dakota, I'm looking at you. If you look at the way Mexico's shaped, the wall's actually not going to stop people from getting over into like Louisiana and Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama.
In through California, that's the part that matters.
So I don't know if you guys know how geography works, but the wall won't actually close off the entire United. You know how people from Cuba still get here, even though they're an island that's like way off the coast of Florida? Same concept. Brown people still just going about it a different way. Okay. Like, come on, guys. It's just and not to mention $5 billion is just the tip of the fucking iceberg. Like, this wall is supposed to cost $25 billion. $25 billion, when there's already hundreds of miles of slated fencing that stretches along the border. I just don't understand. I can't believe that he's willing to shut down the entire government over this. I mean, I can.
Well, yeah, but yes. I can believe he's willing to do it. I can't believe that anybody else would hear his arguments and be like, yeah, I fully support you. Because they just don't make sense. Nothing adds up. That's not how math works.
Well, and again, if you want to have a conversation about like immigration policy and how we can better secure our borders and discuss better and more efficient ways to make immigration legal and more humane and efficient ways to deport people who break our laws, who are here illegally, let's have that fucking conversation. Yeah. Let's spend $1 billion on it. But five? Right. Come on, guys.
Well, and the thing is, like, I'm sorry, the wall just makes us sound so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Just so stupid.
Do you see that meme like going around where
people go ahead like pole vault over it?
Do you see that meme where Canada's putting up a hedge? Yeah.
A well-manicured head.
What have you been seeing about? You follow way more Republicans than I do, Stacey. What have you been seeing on social media?
All the things. So I'm curious, like, why is everybody saying that the Democrats already agreed a long time ago to like fund the wall, and now they changed their mind?
Good point. So Trump, this is his third government shutdown since he's been in office. Mm-hmm. The first time that it happened, the Democrats agreed to go ahead and fund his border wall as long as he gave the Dreamers, all 1.8 million of them, automatic citizenship and fix the program. They didn't want them sent home. So they were willing to trade protection of the Dreamers for a border wall. Well, they got screwed. So it's that whole shame. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So now he's not even offering any of that. And actually the Republicans and the Democrats, or I'm sorry, the Republicans have gone to him and said, hey, the Democrats are taking over the House. We're no longer in control of the government. Why don't we say you can have the $5 billion for your wall and we'll protect the Dreamers? Why don't we actually make that trade now? Everyone looks good. Everyone's happy. And, you know, two birds, one stone. And Trump's saying no. He doesn't want to fucking protect the Dreamers because he doesn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. So that's... But go ahead.
How did we get screwed on that? Like, he just said, like, never mind, just kidding, and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He said he would do it and then was like, no, I'm not going to. And it's worth mentioning that the government shutdown should have never happened because it was a bipartisan bill that passed to keep the government funded. The Republicans and Democrats agreed on this current funding bill that went up to him. And he's the one that said, no, I'm not signing it until you give me my money. So this isn't even, I mean, as dysfunctional as the Senate and the House is 90% of the time, this truly isn't even on them. They came to an agreement.
Right.
Which included $1.8 billion for border security. So
do you think that it looks like the Democrats will cave to like help the shutdown?
No.
Here's
the difference this time. One, Trump is on camera saying that he owns the shutdown for this. And two, and this time around, you have a lot of Senate Republicans that are in really like compromising situations in re-election states that they're not guaranteed to win. Whereas last time there was a lot of Democrats in vulnerable positions up. This time, just the way it works out with like who's up for re-election and who's not, there's a lot of Republicans that are in purple districts that they can't afford now to side with Trump, because right now we're heading into, unfortunately, another presidential election because they start earlier and earlier and earlier every time. So all of them are going to be under the microscope, and people vote in presidential election years, especially Democrats. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the Democrats are going to cave on this one. One, because it is a waste of money. Two, it's not going to solve anything. Three, they don't actually own this fucking shutdown. He does. And that rarely happens where he's on camera saying, right, this is on me.
So stupid.
Four, he's not offering them anything in return. I think if he came to them and said, give me this damn money and I will sign off on it right now, we'll protect all the Dreamers, I think then they would give into it. But unless it's something of that magnitude, I don't see the Democrats caving on this, because the Democrats are back in power in the House. No bills get passed now without Democratic approval.
Right. And he doesn't like to lose or be wrong or have to.
But he could make this a win-win.
Well, but right. In his mind, though, compromising is not a win for him.
Right. And Chuck Schumer was on The Daily today saying one of the reasons they're not going to give in to him is because they're trying to teach him, tell me this doesn't sound like reprimanding a child, that throwing a temper tantrum isn't going to get you what you want. Like, we came to an agreement, you should have signed off. And what Chuck and Nancy went to him yesterday and told him was, look, here's what we've agreed on so far. Sign off on this so we can fund the government for 30 days so that we can get these people back to work so that we can get them their paychecks. In that 30 days, let's discuss the border wall. like let's see where we can come to an agreement on everyone, Republicans, Democrats, and you. Let's see what we can do in the next 30 days. And Trump said no.
So he was unwilling to even have the conversation. It wasn't even like,
so all of his grand,
unwilling to compromise. Like he wouldn't come to the table.
His grandstanding about I'm sitting here waiting for you guys to come in and talk. It's all bullshit. That's they have it. Come and talked to him. He's just not hearing what he wants to hear. And Chuck Schumer said he's not going to give in to the temper tantrum because then they'll have to do it the next time and the next time and the next time. And you have to teach him, no, that's not how it's going to work. Especially now that they have any kind of power. And they have subpoena power now, which is huge. Go ahead.
I'm seeing so much stuff about people saying it doesn't matter. He's not going to be president much longer. And like, he's going to get arrested. And like, it seems like it's building up where it's actually not just the like really far left people that are like, he's going to get arrested. Just wait and see. Now it feels like it's almost like in more headlines that seem more credible.
Well, here's what happened. So, super fucking brief history lesson. back when George Washington was president, there was kind of a beginning of a fiasco with the Native Americans. Land was seized from them illegally. And I'm not just talking about the Trail of Tears. Like, this is before the Trail of Tears. Like, there was everyone knows we fucked over the Native Americans. There was some shady shit that went down in the executive branch. And one of the houses said, hey, we need to take a look at this because we're supposed to be a check on you and your administration. So hand over the paperwork. We need to talk to some witnesses to make sure everything's going as planned. George Washington was first like, no, I'm not going to answer to you. But Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton actually said, no, this is how it's going to work. If you want to seem transparent and like a good leader, you have to give one branch authority to subpoena whatever they want to keep you in line. It started there. So this kind of shit has been going, it wasn't really weaponized until Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. because the Democrats hadn't been in power for 40 years until then. And like, anyway, or the Democrats had been in power for 40 years up until Newt Gingrich came in, and he just kind of fucking started annihilating Democrats. And you saw what happened with Bill Clinton and the subpoenas of like the blue dress and like, you know, yada, yada, yada. So it's been used as a weapon since then. I do think the Democrats are going to need to be careful with how they use this. Like, I don't want to get bogged down in the minutia. Like, there's 2 years left. Like, mm-hmm. let's pick the really big targets and go after those. I don't want to hear people being called for every little bullshit thing. Like, I don't care.
But I really want the PB
there tapes. Was like how his lawyer got caught lying to Congress, and the Republicans, because they were still in power, sealed those records so that the public couldn't see them and that Mueller couldn't see them. The Democrats can unseal those now and have them go public and have Mueller actually read them so they can see what the Trump organization is actually being prosecuted for lying to Congress. Like, those are the kinds of things that now that they're in charge of those you're gonna start seeing more of that.
And I think a lot of this whole like wall thing is a total like, it's a deflection. Like, hey, look over here at this shiny thing. We're gonna shut down the government and do this, and look at this border wall thing, so people won't pay attention to.
I think they do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Over here, you know.
Yeah.
What I don't want to see is, and I'm just speaking for myself, I don't want to start hearing bullshit about impeachment. Like, I just don't. I've stated my reasons on here before why I don't want to see Trump impeached. But here's the other thing too. You go into impeachment trials now so close, or start accusing him, you're also saying a big fuck you to half the country.
Well, that's how they're going to see it. 54, you know, that's not the case.
But like, I'm saying, but right. you need those independent voters. You still need, like, it's too political of a year coming up. We cannot be bogged down with impeachment right now. Like, he fucking sucks. We all know he sucks. The best thing to do is just chip away at his character and chip away at his promises so that he can't get reelected. If you make him into a martyr, he will win.
Of course. Or even if he does get impeached, or it just makes it seem like you guys just backed the wrong horse this time. Mm-hmm. Here's this other fucking guy who's way worse but more competent, but a worse person.
If the Democrats come in and immediately start calling impeachment, you're making yourself out to be the fucking liberal crybabies that they all say you are. Like,
right.
Because it never comes across as though we want him impeached because of all these horrible things he did. It comes across as we want him impeached because he's Republican.
Right. And and that's not true. They want him impeached because he's broken laws. Right. That's not how it'll seem. Mm-hmm. And perception is, I'm not saying it is actually because liberals are big crybabies. That's how it will be spun.
Right.
And that's not, we can't give them more bullshit to be armed with going into this. Like,
right. I like already see it when people say, like, a lot of the Republicans say, leave him alone, basically. They're like, let him do his job so he can show you what a great person and what a great, like, president he is. But the liberals keep stopping it. They're not letting him show, like, all his promises. They're not letting them happen. And so I know, like, if it gets cut off short, or even if he just doesn't get reelected, they're all going to say, nobody gave him a chance. He was so great. He had all these great...
Because how many hours did they say he actually works a day?
I'm glad he's not working. I hope he golfs more. I don't know why people are so bent out of shape about him golfing. I hope he spends 90% of his time at Mar-a-Lago. Like, keep your fucking hands off the government.
Right.
What's funny about people like that, though, it was the same people screaming to stop Obama every step of. And I agree. Some of the shit Obama did, I did not like, and he should have been called on. But when you're fucking throwing a fit over every single thing, it's the boy who cried wolf.
Right.
Like, you don't get to be mad about everything.
Well, the thing is, I feel like people don't see a difference. Like, to me, there is a fundamental difference between you saying, like, hey, Obama did this thing and I don't really like it. That's not really in line with my beliefs.
Right.
I said the same thing about Bush all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I don't like that. I'm not down with this. But I was never like, this guy's going to run the fucking government into the ground, first of all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was never in that position where I was like, this person's doing stuff that's straight up illegal. It's like, is this really, this should be the moral compass of our country? Like, this is disgusting. And I don't feel like in any situation in the past where we've been like, it's totally okay to just disagree with the president. Like, that's totally fine.
You're paying attention. We should. Yeah.
Right. Well, not only that, like, that's your job. Again, the president works for the people, not the other way around. And it's like, it gets so frustrating because I feel like the Trump supporters get super sensitive about that. Like, you just don't like him because of this. No, because if he was just doing stuff that I was like, man, I wouldn't do that, or I don't really like that, and I'm not going to vote for you because of that. Not a, like, I'm seriously concerned about what is happening. Like, I would prefer you spend all your time at Mar-a-Lago. Like, that's a really dangerous position to be in, and it scares me that people don't see the difference.
Well, the problem is, people are so enamored with him. Like, I can't name any person in the entire world that I agree with 100% of the time.
Right.
Like, there's no one. Like, you two are two of my best friends. I don't agree with you 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Like, so the fact that they've put themselves in positions where they have to consistently defend things that they wouldn't defend their best friend on, or their kid, or, you know, like, if your very best friend was being accused of money laundering and fraud and being investigated by the FBI, it's still okay to say, damn, I love you, but you fucked up. Yeah. It doesn't change the fact that you love them, but you would admit, like, that you did, you made a huge mistake. But they're in such denial.
Right.
Yeah. And you wouldn't treat anyone else in your world that way. That's what I don't get.
I'm just going to go ahead and use this as an example because it's what I saw most recently. But Tina posted that thing on Facebook, right? Okay. I saw this and I was like, okay, I'm just going to like a couple of comments and then I'm going to leave it alone because I just couldn't get involved at that point. And it said, Happy New Year's. It was a picture of Trump raising his glass like Gatsby. And it said, Happy New Year's to all my voters. May you continue to believe my bullshit as I engage in the corruption I falsely accuse Hillary of and use my power to enrich myself and my family bigly. Which I thought was super funny. But this lady proceeded to comment on it and said, this is our president. Please support him and our country. If it sucked that bad, move on. Okay, first of all, like,
I wasn't having that.
Well, no. But first of all, like, number one, if you don't agree with it, like, well, you don't really have to even say anything. But okay, you could. Somebody was like, "I don't agree with you, but Happy New Year, whatever." Right. Okay.
So, no one said anything to her.
Right. Like, somebody tagged this broad in this post and was like, "Hey, you, this." Like, nobody. So she felt the need to comment on it. So then I'm like, okay, here's the thing. How is disagreeing with the president not supporting the country? Like, that's literally what, if you know anything about the founding of the country and the Constitution and stuff, like, literally just
go even like a passing knowledge.
Just go listen, like, to Hamilton. Watch the document, watch the little thing, watch the commercial, and you'll be like, oh, they spent a lot of time putting these documents together and putting this government together in a way that meant that no one would have absolute power. Like, that they left, that's what they left in England. So, like, it's kind of a big fucking deal. And the fact that these people, without the internet and without lots of, like, high formal education, were able to come up with this system that you can't fucking understand is pretty impressive. Because there's the most patriotic thing you can do is speak out against the government if you disagree with them. That's how the whole thing is set up.
Amendment one, like, bitches. It was so important. They made it the very first one. So if you're lazy and you only read the headlines, that was the headline.
One, right? Because they left tyranny. Like, where you couldn't speak out against the king and you couldn't, there couldn't be any dissension. And that's not fair, as times change and people change, the electorate changes, and that changes the laws. And that's how government is set up to work, especially our government. So it boggles my mind sometimes when people are like, you're not supporting the country. Or if somebody says, like, hey, I don't really agree with this war we're in. Like, we're not supporting the troops. Like, what the fuck? Did I say I was rooting for the other side? No. I said, I don't think we should be involved in this. Like, those are two different things. So that was, like, irritation number one with this situation was, like, number one, I can be supportive of the country and not like the president. And I exercise that by running my mouth quite a bit because, I don't know, people seem to want to listen. And by voting. And I'm allowed to do that. So if I don't vote for him to be reelected, am I not supporting the country because I didn't vote for him as president? Like, I can say I think he's a piece of shit and he's doing a terrible job. I'm allowed to say that. We have a freedom of speech. Like, I'm allowed to say that because back in the day, Alexander Hamilton and George Washington and the rest of those guys weren't allowed to do that. And it was really important to them. So stop with this, like, false, like, patriotism of we're not allowed to say anything bad about the government. Like,
it's a false dichotomy. It is what it is. And it's like when people cherry pick the Bible, like,
yes,
when people speak out against, you know, gay people using Leviticus, ignoring the fact that, you know, two verses before it said, don't eat shrimp and don't wear wool and cotton. Like, yes, you can't pick and choose the parts you like and the parts that you don't like and leave those out, because you create this false sense of reality. And you're absolutely right. Like, they were escaping tyranny. They had just gone through a brutal war where they lost hundreds of thousands of Americans, or newly minted Americans, and they did all this over some fucking tea. Like, you want to talk about sipping your tea? Like, this whole country was founded on the fact that they were trying to escape tyranny. So to sit there and say you have to agree with the president or you shouldn't speak out against him, one is very authoritarian. Like, yeah, that's a very authoritarian viewpoint on it. Two, you've literally never ever picked up a fucking history book. Like, did you sleep your way through civics class? And three, doesn't that just feel wrong? Like, if someone were to tell you, you can't have an opinion about this, growing up in this country, I know in other places, like, it's normal, but growing up in this country, if someone were to tell you, you can't have an opinion about this, that just automatically feels wrong. And if you do, keep it to yourself. Like, right, that's,
but
not,
you're allowed to say it about that when the person you support is president, but then somebody else is in office and you're like, I don't support this president because he's for abortion. Like, okay, well, support abortion or get out of the country. Like, that's not how it works.
No, it's all become a team sport.
Mentally not. So I was like, okay, this person made their little comment. And then of course people commented, and Jackie had to explain how history worked. And then instead of responding to any of those comments, she just commented again in a separate area and said, move away or support our country. Like, okay, the fact that you thought it necessary to comment a second time to say the same thing when the person who posted this hasn't even really responded, like, I like fundamentally don't understand that process, but it's like this mantra and it's just so ingrained in there that it's like, don't even, there's no amount of rationalizing that's going to make people understand how the government works.
Here's,
so
here's the other thing too.
People that now want to participate in it don't know anything about it.
Here's the other thing too. It is perfectly legal, 100% okay to see something on Facebook that you don't agree with and not fucking say anything.
Stop.
Like you can just keep scrolling. The only reason I even fucking got involved in that is one, I'm like super protective over Tina and I wasn't having any of that shit.
My finger went up in the air and then I saw that you already had taken care of it. And I was like, okay. All right, we're good.
I usually fucking just keep scrolling because I'm like, Matt, whatever. But I usually keep scrolling when someone has posted their own opinion and I'm like, I can't get into this with you, but you don't get to attack one of my friends with some bullshit and I'm just gonna keep going. So,
and can I just say Tina's one of those people too that I can really appreciate, because Tina will have an opinion about something and then learn more about it and be like, you know what? I think differently about this thing now.
Yeah.
Like, totally. She's super strong-willed and not easily swayed and stuff, but she's someone who once she has a little bit more like understanding of an issue or a little bit more knowledge, like as far as like political things goes, she's like, hey, you know what? No, like, you know, and I can really appreciate that about her. And I just was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, can this lady kick rocks? Like,
yeah.
Why don't you move? If you don't like the way democracy works, move on. That's what I'm gonna start saying to these people. Support our president or move on. No, fuck you. Support our constitution or move on. Cause that's how this
works. When did you think as a Democrat, you'd have to be defending the fucking constitution?
Jesus,
that's like such a wart.
This is what I signed up for. It's what kind of bizarro world is this that I'm having to explain the fucking Constitution to Republicans? Constitutionalists. Support our president.
It's some Freaky Friday shit. Like, that you have to be like, no, that's not how it works.
Because Democrats are usually like, right, that's the Constitution, but the Constitution was written to, you can ratify the Constitution. It's a living, breathing document, blah, blah, blah. I'm tired of having to be like, no, it fucking says it right there in writing. And I know the letters are kind of swirly and twirly, and that might be confusing to some people, but
yeah,
like,
that their font was weird.
Jesus.
All right. New Year's. Stacey, kick us off.
New year, new me.
Stacey, kick us off.
Which Stacey are you talking to?
You.
Oh, this wasn't my topic.
Can I just say the fact that that doesn't happen to us more often is like pretty. And you don't say it, and we're both like.
I almost pointed at you like that mattered.
You, that one. Which one?
You.
Oh, I you. Guess I did kind of.
All right, let's do things we like about New Year's first.
Assumed because Stacey likes to do the non-political part. Well, first of all, what did you guys do? What did you do for New Year's? What were like your New Year's?
Lex and Lincoln were in bed by 9 and I played video games.
Party.
Yeah. Hey, oh, I can't wait to hear what you did. Fucking fancy pants. Let's hear it.
My brother was in town with his girlfriend.
Oh, shit. So you stayed up till 12:30. Woo!
We went to one winery in Livermore in the daytime. And then to his friend's house where they served a buffet of Olive Garden, which I was freaking psyched about because I was like,
yeah, that's
Olive Garden. But then these bitches forgot the salad dressing. Not them, the people at Olive Garden. So we got our food and we were like, all right, where's the dressing? And so they're like, well, we have salad dressing. Like, we'll get that out of the thing. And I'm like,
it's not the same.
No, it's the best part.
Like, how many? My question is, how many breadsticks did they bring?
They brought.
Were they enough?
Breadsticks. I ate 2, which I thought was really.
You only ate 2 at a buffet?
Because I started this.
You went to the buffet and got 2 breadsticks.
Missed opportunity is all I'm saying.
Medical diet, like the week before.
You're always on a medical diet.
I know, but I was like, I'm not going to go too crazy. So I only had 2 two breadsticks. But what they did do too was an entire container of Andy's mints. And I was like, get those away from me right now. And I ate like four of those.
I've never even thought about like an Olive Garden catering thing. Cause Olive Garden, you're just like, meh, whatever. But then if you walked into a place, you're like, catered by the Olive Garden.
I know. And I was kind of thinking, like, I wonder what I'm going to eat, whatever. So we're driving. Cause we had decided like, I'll leave my car there. And then like, I probably shouldn't drive. So then we thought like, I'm not going to keep drinking. So you can just drop me off at my car. But then we decided like driving on New Year's anywhere, probably not a safe idea. So I stayed with my brother. So that was the whole thing was like, I'll just stay with them in their hotel and come home the next day, whatever. At like 9:30, my brother's girlfriend was ready for bed. And I was like, on New Year's? But like, I would be okay with leaving at 9:30. So it was kind of funny. So we definitely were already, like, I was in bed by midnight. But
all that shit talking. And like,
but it wasn't my call. I wasn't driving. So I drank, like, consistently drank wine from like 2 o'clock in the afternoon until like probably 9.
Good for you.
I know. So then I was like, not even too bad of a hangover the next day because it was like super consistent. But the look on my face when I found out the food being served was Olive Garden, I was kind of like, oh, do you know what they're having for dinner? He was like, yeah, I think he ordered Olive Garden. It was literally like,
you know, no one can see you, right?
I know no one can see me, but I wanted you guys to see it. So when I described it as like opening the exact gift that you asked Santa for on Christmas, that you guys could confirm that's what my face looks like.
Stace, what'd you do for New Year's?
We had a night in because we're doing no money January, so we're not spending. And so my oldest daughter wanted to watch 6 hours of Grey's Anatomy, and I called it off after an hour and a half. And we watched movies, and my youngest daughter was super disappointed because I wouldn't take them to go get like sparkling grape juice and sparklers and, you know, whatever. So she went in the back room and made the cutest like poppers out of, you take like a toilet paper tube and you put a bunch of confetti and stuff inside, and then you cut the top off of a balloon and tie it and put it over the bottom. And so then when it's time, you pull the balloon and it pops all the confetti out.
That's so, fun.
It was so cute. So she brought us all poppers. And so we actually stayed up till midnight. And then I cooked.
Are you still cleaning confetti up?
No. Yeah. I was going to say no, but no, I actually really am.
Yeah.
Because it all went in the couch.
Yeah.
I made cream cheese danishes with like raspberry, pomegranate, and peach, and they came out of the oven like 2 minutes before the countdown, and so we all ate danishes on the couch with our little poppers. It was pretty cool.
Fun.
That's adorable. I like that.
All right, what's everyone hate about New Year's?
Go.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna just go for it. Okay, the amount of posts on New Year's Day about like taking a me day, like hashtag self-care. You're hungover. You don't get to call that self-care because you are hungover. Like, I'm just a mask on my head and on the couch all day. Like, you have diarrhea, first of all. And it's too much light. Like, you know when, I think it's the Instagram post and the Facebook post. And I'm like, new year, new me. Like, no, new year, same exact same person who's going to maybe make some resolutions and never stick to them.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I went there.
Same. I don't like the people that like feel the need to do this huge post about like New Year's, so this and this, and I'm gonna change this, and a week later they're just right back to like not caring. Like, it was all for show. I am all about, if you need a day to get you started, like maybe you really wanted to diet, but you're like, I can't do it during the holidays. I can.
Yeah.
So if you want to make that your New Year's resolution because the holidays are over, if that's the boost you need, awesome. Go for it. Good for you if like that's really your thing. But all those people that have this like laundry list of all the cool things they're going to do for New Year's and they don't do any of them, it's just for show. Yeah. Lame.
The other thing that was annoying to me was like that it was a thing on Instagram this year to put like a picture in your story from every month of the year. And that I found annoying because like I'm looking at people's Instagram stories and I'm like, Jesus, I don't even look at 12 fucking pictures. And some people weren't even just doing 12 pictures. It was like, oh, here's my top 50 pictures from this year showing you all the cool things I did. And I'm like,
did I even post 50 pictures this year?
Like, I don't want to watch any of this. I just want to see like funny, ironic videos, and I can't look at those now because you're freaking, I'm like, my 2018. No, guys, 2018 was fucking dumpster fire. A dumpster fire.
The thing that I don't like about New Year's and resolutions, well, like I said last year, I try to make goals every year because I think resolutions are easy to break. It's either like a fail or no fail. Like, I'm going to do this. And if you don't, like, you set yourself up to, you know, be disappointed or be mad at yourself. So I think making little goals is important. Things that are like achievable. Like, yeah, everyone wants to lose fucking 30 pounds. I get it. Yeah. Like, totally. But you should have other ones two. Like,
well, shouldn't it be more just like broad, like my goal is gonna try and
be healthier, like, drink more water, like, yeah,
flexible, and whatever.
here's the thing that bothers me about resolutions that I've noticed as I've gotten older, they tend to be incredibly selfish. And I've noticed the shit show that the world is. I tried to pick things that I thought would not just better me, but like better the people around me. Like, I'm trying to do 2 hours a night where I don't look at my phone at all. It kind of stressed me out that my son is like obsessed with trying to grab our phones right now. And I really think it's because we're looking at them all the time and not like, mom, get off that. It's not like a subliminal message. I think he's just thinking like, oh, you guys are always playing with it. I want to play with it. And I don't want him growing up like that at all. So I want to try and pick 2 hours when my wife and I are home together that we put the phones in the other room and we don't. And I mean, that's not a big thing, but I think it'll make a difference, you know? I have promised myself that I'm going to not get into pointless political debates on social media. One, because I end up feeling terrible. Two, I would never talk to some of these people in real life the way I do on social media. And I don't want to be that person. Like, I don't mind having a rational debate with someone, but like, I'm not going to get into arguments anymore with clearly uneducated opinions. It makes me feel bad. It makes them feel bad. It gets people worked up and it doesn't accomplish anything. So I'm really going to try and strive for that. That's going to be really fucking hard for me. Like, real hard.
Right.
I'm also going to take a 2-day break from politics every week where I don't listen or read any politics. It makes me more angry. And I think I take that out on people that I care about and I'm constantly thinking about it. I end up getting into arguments with like my father-in-law and like, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, like I want to, I want to be in the moment more and not be constantly worried about outside things that are, I can't personally control. And my last one, like we're all on fucking diets because we all eat like shit over the holidays. Like we need to like go through a detox kind of period. But I'm also, I'm really trying to drink a certain amount of water every day because as I've gotten older, I've noticed how much of an impact correct water consumption makes in my day-to-day life. And I feel like that's a really obtainable like health goal. So I'm really trying to eat. And in the winter, it's hard because you're just not as thirsty. So I'm really trying to, you know, drink my 64 ounces of water every day. And I try to go 8 ounces over. And, I'm also, I usually, every night when I get home from work, I have like a glass of wine or one beer. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm only drinking when I drink with you guys and then once on the weekend. So I'm cutting out my nightly like glass of wine too. So
have you seen that 30-day like anti-stress thing that's going around? It's like 30 days to cut your anxiety. It's totally obtainable things for every day. And after 30 days, you're supposed to feel like better. And like one of them, I kind of scanned it. One of them is like, drink the actual amount of water you're supposed to drink today.
Yeah.
Spend 20 minutes in the sun today.
Yeah. Like, well, that actually increases outside. It improves your mood by like 65% or something. Just spending 10 minutes outside.
Right.
Yeah.
And log off all social media for 2 hours today. Yeah. Go for a 20-minute walk today. They're all super obtainable and it's like only 30 days, but it's supposed to like really make you think about like, wow, I felt really good on this day. I'm gonna take that up and keep doing that. You know, like I think I'm gonna do it.
I think that's a great idea. Here's the thing that irritates me about New Year's. I think that I think we should constantly be trying to improve ourselves. Like, I don't like to think, like last year I really tried to make a point of telling women who really inspired me, like in my everyday lives, that they like I love them and I cared about them and like, you know, that they were important to me.
I did that 1 year for Lent when I was still Catholic. Mm-hmm. I just felt like, I mean, is it really doing anything that like once a year I'm like, I'm not going to eat candy for 40 days. Like, is that helping anyone? So 1 year, every single day, I like messaged someone or texted somebody, wrote them a letter or whatever, and just said, thank you. Like, here's the impact that you've had on my life. And mm-hmm. I don't think I've probably ever said thank you for that.
That's cool. I like that.
The thing that irritates me about New Year's, well, as I've gotten older, I have no interest in like participating in the whole New Year's extravaganza. Like, I think it's great. It's a super cool feeling to feel like, oh, you're starting over at day one, you know, like I do enjoy that feeling. You're like brand new year. It's a blank slate, but I think I agree. The Facebook posts and the fucking hashtag this and hashtag that, like you are still fundamentally who you fucking are. Like, I think I just wish someone would start being honest and being like, I'm just going to try and do one thing better.
I'm going to be like a little bit less of a bad person.
The other thing I don't like about New Year's is I think it's really, I think there's just a ton of hype around it. It used to be my favorite holiday, but I would so much rather now like hang out with my friends and my family and like go to bed at a normal time. I just, especially being on the East Coast.
You're old now.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I stayed up till 12, but
expectations and pressure and stuff for New Year's too. Mm-hmm. Especially like, I think it's a little, I don't know if it's different when you're single or whatever, but it's like, okay,
who are you going to kiss at midnight?
A super tight sparkly outfit. Are you going to this super fancy thing? Who do you have to kiss at midnight? When are you going to blah, 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 blah.
I have literally never thought about any of
you them. Have been married since you were 19.
That's true. And I've had children since I was 19, so I don't, that's true. Never mind.
You were married before you could go to a club on New Year's.
I've never had any of those pressures. That's so weird. Why?
I think there's a lot of pressure on the holidays in general. We had a good holiday season. I got to see a lot of my family, which it was actually really enjoyable. Like, I'm just glad the holidays are over now and like it, we can, you know, keep moving on.
Yeah.
So I think people should just make little changes to make your world better. Like, well, it's the world's not all about you. Everybody's New Year's resolutions are me, 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 me. Make a better fucking world. Like, treat people better.
They're kind of, it's not even that they're just selfish. They're just kind of like, everything is like, I'm going to look better. I want to be more successful. Like, it's all really shallow. Besides being selfish, they're just kind of
like your anti-anxiety one that will improve your mood as a mom, as a wife, like as a that will impact several people. Cause when you're better, like everybody around you is better, but you're absolutely right. Like all this, like, oh, I need to lose 30. Why have a number? Like, that's why I want to drink more water. Yeah. I want to walk more. I want to do things that are better. I don't have a number in mind. Well, I just want to be healthier.
It's all about the end goal. Yeah. Like, I want this thing and a resolution. Yeah, maybe it should be a little
Listen,
bit more
we're getting older. Changes. We need some lifestyle changes. We can't just eat Jack in the Box after drinking and expect it not to sit straight on our ass. Like, that's not on the cards anymore. Right. You better drink your 64 ounces of water and put your ass on a treadmill. Like, that's the only way that spicy chicken sandwich is coming off your ass.
That's the whole thing. It's like, you have to do that just to maintain. It's not even going to make you lose any weight anymore. It's like, oh, what do I have to do to just not gain weight by doing the exact same thing I've been doing for the last 36 fucking years? Okay, cool. Not even, it doesn't make me lose weight anymore. It just makes me not gain any more. Okay, I didn't know this. I didn't sign up for this. Wait.
What's everyone obsessed with this week?
I have so many things. I usually have to like think about it. Now I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Number one, it's my anniversary. So that's
15 years.
so crazy.
I told your husband today, I texted him and congratulated him. He's like, we've been married a long time. I go, yeah, a whole Alexis. You've been married a whole Alexis. He goes, I've never thought of it like that. I'm like, how did you not think?
Right. I always wonder about the people that, like, I post when it's her birthday on Facebook and they're like, oh, how old is she? And I'm like, 15, blah, blah, blah. A few weeks later, I post, yay, it's my 15th anniversary. And I'm like, how many people do the math?
Listen, go, oh. First of all, fuck those people because you're the best mom that I have ever known. So fuck them because whatever you're doing, everybody should do that. That should be your fucking New Year's resolution, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do what Stacey does because her kids are the best.
Jesus. Okay.
It's true.
My other thing was that we're doing the no spend January. So,
what does that entail though?
Yeah. Okay. So I like, as part of it, I wanted to do the shout out to Dave Ramsey because the Dave Ramsey program is fantastic for anybody that wants to get out of debt. That's how we got out of debt. And we
such a guy.
Let's do a pitch and then we can go on a trip to.
Yeah. No. Okay. So that's how we got out of debt to buy this house. And we try to live debt free. So the only debt we have is our solar now, which sucks. But so no spending January is we have to meal plan everything. And I get $300 to spend for 2.5 weeks on just groceries, one trip. So I'm talking, you run out of toilet paper, you better figure out your backup. Okay. You get one trip to spend $300 for 2.5 weeks.
I'll be talking about then, toilet paper. $100 worth of toilet paper, kids. Yeah. Yeah. We're not running out of that.
Costco's the shit. So then I have to figure out that for 2.5 weeks. And then we only spend money on our bills that come in the mail. And then I have 3 automatic payments. I cannot buy anything on Amazon. I cannot run out of butter and run to the store. I cannot... any of the things. When Kai goes straight to work and straight back, he can go to the gas station and he can only get gas. So if he wants water or whatever, he has to take a thermos and take water if we don't have bottles in the house. Like, it is that strict and it's all of January. We've done it before. Like, it's like, it just makes up for Christmas. The extra spending you do at Christmas time, it makes up for that. I'm telling you, it was like, I sat down and I was like, I feel like we're about to be Oprah fucking rich right now because of the savings that we are making because I am not.
Honey, none of us are ever going to be Oprah rich.
I'm so gifted because I'm getting all the after Christmas ads in my email and on Facebook and I'm going, I could totally buy that for $5. Nope. No spend January. And so I'm like, it's been like weeks. Like, we have to have so much in savings, right? And he was like, babe, it's been 8 days. So I was like, what are you talking? 8 days? That's fucking crazy. I don't know why this time has been so much more intense.
So you guys did this before. Did you run out of anything last time? And then run out
of every time. And I
what'd you run out of? Sorry.
This time I ran out of black eyeliner the other day. And so I have no eyeliner and I don't use brush. Everybody on my Facebook post, I said I ran out of black eyeliner and it's a big joke because we watch Love After Lockup and the girls that come out of prison talk about they use coffee grounds and a toothbrush to do mascara. And so he's like, you better get on that. And I'm like, that's what happened. I found, and I don't have brushes. I'm not really, I don't do a lot of
mascara into your lash line. Like, instead of just putting it on, push it in first and wiggle it a little and then pull it out.
I found a dark brown eyebrow pencil in
the brush. She found a solution. She just hasn't showered. It's fine. Everybody's fine.
That's pretty much the only thing I've run out of this time. But
Last time, what did you run out of?
Got a while.
Well, she's only 8 days in too.
I know.
We're gonna catch up in 2 weeks. That's why she had to order her 18-pack of wine before fucking no spend January hit. No,
that's exactly why.
That's funny.
We run out of soda. I'm out of soda right now. That kind of hurts. We run out of butter before that. That one sucks. Bottled water sucks for me because our water is not good out of the faucet, so I have to actually think about that one.
Could you buy Brita's ahead of time so you can filter the water instead of using all that plastic?
hey, I recycle.
Yeah, but plastic can only be recycled so many times before it has to be thrown away. Could you buy like filtered water things to put on your faucet so you could drink it directly out of the faucet? I'm just for next January.
Our well is just not that great, so I feel like we would go through Brita's like twice as fast as their normal thing, and it would just end up costing more money.
Okay.
Kai's actually out of ice, and we have like one little tiny funky silicone ice tray, and he's actually making ice like every hour and dumping it in a bowl to have ice because he's like a real big ice chewer. And so I think that's pretty funny that he like he dropped them all too. It's not just me.
What happens if you run out of something like tampons?
Yeah.
Are there exceptions?
Make it work.
That wouldn't happen in our house. Like, there's certain things that we don't run out of in this house. That's one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I'm just saying, what if there's an emergency? Like,
honestly, this time, actually, I sold some stuff on Marketplace on Facebook. And so I had pocket money. Yep. Okay. And so I was able to, like, I ran down to the gas station and got a Red Bull.
I was listening to another podcast where the two hosts, Pantsuit Politics, where they did this. They actually did it like, I think 3 months before Christmas to save for Christmas money. But they were saying like, if something really came up that they really needed, they had to talk to their spouse about it. If they both agreed that it was essential, then they could spend the money on it. It couldn't be like a solo thing though. Like,
well, that's the same. If I came to Kai and was like, babe, I need to go get tampons, he'd be like, go.
Better figure it out.
I was totally serious when I came to him for eyeliner. I was like, hey, it's a grocery item. It's something that I put on like our grocery list as like a necessity every 3 months. And he was like, no. And I was like, oh shit. All right. Okay then. So my third thing really fast was that we got for Christmas, my daughters and I got paint by number adult paintings, and I highly recommend it. They're between $12 and $15 on Amazon, and it comes off really, really intimidating. It's a lot of little tiny numbers, but they give you an array of paintbrushes labeled like 1 through 20 paints, and you just sit there and you go through, like, do all the ones. Or maybe you tape it off and do like a 6x6 section, whatever you do. It is so therapeutic and nice. Like, my daughter and I sat there and chatted and painted for 2.5 hours today, and it was fantastic. So crafty. I recommend it to anybody that likes to do crafts. It was awesome.
So crafty.
So crafty.
I have a few. One, my sister came and visited. Yeah, I'm skipping over you because you're always the longest.
Look who has multiple. Both of you guys.
Hey, I fucking popped through mine though. My sister came and visit. I'm not. That wasn't directed at you. Are we having a fight?
No.
My sister came and visited, and it was the first time that I have hung out with her without our parents around in like 10 years. So no, I'm not even like exaggerating.
I know, but that's so funny.
Yeah. So it was fun, and I really enjoyed having her here. The second thing, my son is learned to make fart noises, and he thinks he's hilarious.
Absolutely.
And it's pretty adorable. He just sits around and goes like constantly, and it's real funny, and he laughs at himself. He thinks he's the funniest fucking kid around. Third, I saw Aquaman. Okay, this is one of the best superhero movies that has ever been made. All right.
Wow.
I'm telling you right now.
My mom said.
Here are a few things that I really, really liked about it. Because, like, I like Aquaman, but I was always kind of like, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I like him, but it's not like Batman or Wonder Woman or Superman. Like, I was never into the whole Aquaman thing. The movie was funny. He's kind of like the hero that isn't always... He's kind of dumb sometimes and like entertaining.
Like Hancock?
No, not like Hancock, but no. He was probably the most relatable superhero as far as like superhero movies go. But here's what I really, really liked about it. Amber Heard, who plays Mara in it, they made her out to be so independent, and Nicole Kidman plays his mother, who is the queen of Atlantis, and both the women in it, because everyone was like, eh, Jason Momoa, he's so hot, you know, but he is, he's very good looking,
yeah,
what,
yeah,
for sure, yeah, I'm not hating on that, but the women in this movie were so, they were so well written and so strong and so smart and didn't need saving. Like, it was, it's so nice to find, because I've always been a big fan of superheroes and superhero movies, but it's so nice to see kind of like the pendulum swinging over, and they're not writing these characters anymore to be damsels in distress and needing to be, they're actual equals. And I thought it added, first of all, I could watch Amber Heard read the fucking phone book all day. Like, I'm a big fan.
She's the one that was married to Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Okay. We don't talk about him.
He's a redhead, right?
Well, in the movie she is, because that's the comic book she is too. But yeah. Her and Nicole Kidman, they were just really, it's nice to see them writing as equals now and not women that have to be saved and helped. And right. I mean, there's still a certain amount, like there's still an aspect to that, but with the exception of Wonder Woman, I don't think I've seen a female superhero written as strong, even in the Avengers, like Black Widow, she doesn't play a huge part. This movie, I can't say enough about this movie. It was so good. So good. Like, I recommend it to fucking everybody. I already told Lex, Lincoln turns one in June. We're having an Aquaman birthday party. Like, done and done. Yeah. So that's, yeah, it was, everyone should go see it. Jason Momoa is very impressive, and he's funny, and he's smart, and he's charming. And yes, there are super cheesy, like cliche superhero moments where he's like, yeah, I have to do the right thing and save the world. You should expect that in all superhero movies. But the chemistry, the writing, the acting, the cinematography, because so much of it takes place underwater, was mm-hmm. so incredible. Like, so, so incredible. I really, really want to go see it again. It was my favorite superhero movie behind Wonder Woman. It just knocked Batman down. Like,
wow.
It was, I'm telling you, it was really, really good. Dang. Really good. I don't often see movies twice in like a theater. Like, I mm-hmm. rarely go see movies in a theater, period, because, you know, mm-hmm. I have a 6-month-old. But I want to go see this again so badly. It was so, so good. Everyone should go see it.
Really?
Yeah.
And I can't. Yeah. I'm in no spin January.
Hey, it'll still be in theaters in February. Do it.
Yeah.
You won't be sorry. It's so good.
Okay. I watched Bird Box.
Me too.
Okay. I had so much anxiety watching this freaking movie. Like, so much anxiety. And if you don't know the basic premise, it's sort of like oh my God, what was the one with John Krasinski? Why can't I remember what it's called? The one where they can't talk.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of that freaking movie. Anyways, it's like that, except in this one, they can't see. So you have this, like, heightened sense of, like, A Quiet Place. Sorry.
Yeah.
So in that okay. movie, you're like,
okay. Why are you yelling at us?
I don't know. I'm excited. and everything's like, you know, there's this, like, heightened sense of whatever. And you're like, oh, my God, don't look. Don't look. So that's this whole movie is basically there's some sort of weird monster. And if they open their eyes, it makes them kill themselves. Like, just go crazy and kill themselves. And so, holy crap, in the beginning, you're just like, I had so much anxiety watching this freaking movie. Yeah. Is it the best movie I've ever seen? No.
But was it was there, good. Like, I feel like people are eating on it.
Yeah. There were huge plot holes, but like Sandra Bullock's super good in that movie. Sarah Paulson's in the beginning of it. And
Sandra Bullock is a national treasure. Yes. I'm sorry. She is. Wow. Like, I will go, I will pay to see any movie she's in because I support Sandra Bullock.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
It was one of those things where it was like thoroughly entertaining and it scared the shit out of me. And I don't like scary movies. My second thing that I saw that I'm a little obsessed with because I just don't know how to feel was Mary Poppins. So I saw Mary Poppins. I loved it. I thought it was so entertaining. I enjoyed every minute of it and I loved it. And then in my YouTube, like, recommended videos, this video came up where this girl was talking about Mary Poppins. And like, she brought up so many points that I didn't even think about this freaking movie. Like, how in the original, like, the whole sort of point of it is, like money isn't everything. Like, it's literally the Banks family. And he works for the bank. And it's, so the whole thing is supposed to be like, money isn't everything and you have these wonderful kids and that's what you should focus on. So in, not like I'm gonna spoil this for anybody, in the new one, it's the bank's son has three children and their mom has died, but you don't get any sort of attachment to her. They don't really talk about her a lot. So Mary Poppins comes back to like take care of the bank's children, except it's not his children, it's him, because he's a freaking mess and they're about to repossess his house. So you think it's going to be this whole like, oh, and then they're looking for the, you know, he owns all these shares in the bank and they're going to like, you know, realize at the end that money's not what's important. So even if they lose their house, they still have each other or whatever. No, they like, Dick Van Dyke magically shows up as like the owner of the bank and he's like, eh, it's fine, you don't need those. And they find them on the kite or whatever. But it's like, life's totally going to work out okay if you find all that money you didn't know you had. And I was like, yeah, good point. That was a little weird kind of, you know, weird kind of ending. And they do sing like a weird little like vaudeville number called The Cover Is Not the Book, which I totally loved it. But at the same time, I was like, it's weird to see Mary Poppins doing this like slightly bawdy, like wink, wink, little like vaudeville number. I thought it was like a little bizarre, but so entertaining. And it was like, I didn't realize I needed Mary Poppins so much in this like shit show of a world that just like that sort of like imagination and kids just being kids and stuff. I didn't realize how much I needed that.
Can
I get that
before we get to the drink reviews? Can I say one thing? We watched Night School the other night, Kevin Hart's new movie.
I thought it was
real funny. I can. To everybody who rates movies on IMDb, okay, can you all just chill the fuck out a little bit? Like, I think you're expecting a little too much from comedies all the time. Like, every time I look at rate, because I usually look up IMDb when I'm watching a movie just to see, like, the trivia about it, like, the quotes and, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Y'all are too fucking hard on comedies. Like, the bar should be like, if it makes you laugh, like, I get when movies are up for Academy Awards or whatever, like, the acting is important and, like, the plot lines are important and the holes in the story are important. That's not my comedy. Like, comedies aren't trying to fill plot holes and, like, well, that will never happen. No shit. Yeah, like, yeah. It's Melissa McCarthy falling out of a window. Like, come on, y'all. Like, was Night School the best comedy I've ever seen? No, it wasn't. But was it deserving of a 5.5 on IMDb? No. Like, I think there has to be like an assemblance for rating movies. You know, you can't, like, right. American Beauty, you cannot expect the same from as you do fucking Night School. Like, it's right. Just, well, that's it's super it.
That's how I felt about Bird Box.
Yeah. Right. Like,
everybody hated it. And I was like,
but
fine.
I liked it. I thought it
accomplished good.
What I was expecting.
Exactly.
I feel like people are super hard on Amy Schumer, Melissa McCarthy. Yeah. Like, Amy Schumer is that one where she like sees herself differently than what she actually looks like. Yeah. I thought that movie was super funny and people beat the hell out of her. And I think we're just expecting a little too much out of comedies. Like, she's just, calm the fuck down, everyone. If it made you laugh, if a comedy made you physically laugh out loud, it's deserving of a 7. That's yes. My opinion. Yeah. Like, if it did what it set out to accomplish, like, no, are you going to remember it in 15 years? Like, that scene that made you laugh? Probably not. Is everything going to be The Hangover? No. Or Bridesmaids? No. But if it entertained you and you walked away going, I feel a little bit better, it was a good movie. So calm the fuck down.
Okay. Just for
that's my spiel.
I Googled the highest rated movies on IMDb because I'm just kind of curious. Number one is The Shawshank Redemption, which, like, yes, that's a great fucking movie. Even that only has a 9.3.
Who gave The Shawshank Redemption? Like, just on morality, you shouldn't be giving that. Movie. Oh, no. I'm saying who gave that lower than, like...
9.3, exactly. But then it's, like, The Godfather, The Dark Knight, Godfather
right,
Part 2,
right,
Lord
right,
of the
right,
Rings,
right.
Return of the Rings.
All
but
makes
I'm
sense.
Saying is, you get down to number 6 is Pulp Fiction. That's an 8.9. That's not even in the 9s. And these are the highest rated movies on IMDb, which I think is funny. Schindler's List, 8.9. Meh.
Like, calm the fuck down,
why
everyone.
Schindler's List not have a 10?
Why does everyone think they're expert reviewers?
I still think I'm the only person that, like, thought 50 Shades was fucking terrible.
Oh, no, it was terrible.
Thank you.
Terrible.
So bad.
It promoted abuse and fucking manipulation. You're into it, cool. Like, I don't care.
It was bad writing. The writing was terrible.
In the book, yes. Too. But again, does it accomplish its mission? Is it Schindler's List? Nope. But did it get, like, middle-aged women kind of horny? Yeah, and I think that's what it set out to do.
Yeah, no, not at all. It actually made me feel very sad. And I read the book and watched the movie trying to, like, figure out the difference, and it made me sad.
Yeah, and I get where you're coming from. But when he's working out and doing his little gymnastic stuff, I was on board for that.
I don't ever rate movies on IMDb. I'm hating on these people and I never put anything in because I'm not an expert movie reviewer. I like Schindler's List and I also like Night School. Could I be equally like, could you force me to watch either one on any given night? Probably. So I don't review movies because I just don't feel like I'm qualified, but I think you have to go in with the expectations of what you're fucking watching.
Right.
Like, yes, 50 Shades of Grey. It wasn't written real well. I didn't read the book, but that's what I hear. I only saw the movie because I really like Melanie Griffith. So I was like, oh, I'll watch her daughter in something. Like how the movie, I thought the acting was good. I really liked her. I did think he came off like red flags everywhere. Red flags.
Well, for sure. And I think a lot of that was they didn't have any chemistry
on screen. You're totally right. But you know what? If that's what you're fucking into, that's what you're into. Like, it wasn't, nothing stood out to me in being like, don't ever watch this movie. Or you have to watch this movie. It's the best. So I was like, whatever.
Was it a fun thing to like go get margaritas on Valentine's Day and then watch 50 Shades with gal pals? Yeah. And that's what it's for.
Yeah, I don't. So everyone, just calm the fuck down. You're not expert reviewers. Like, just relax. Yeah.
If you were, you'd be a member of the Academy.
Have you guys watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel yet?
The new season?
Any of it?
Oh, yeah, but I haven't started the new season Stays? Yet. That's so delightful.
You've watched it?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched most of the first season.
So good. So good.
I love that show.
I do, too. I'm obsessed.
All right. How's everyone's wine? We're out of time.
Fantastic.
Apparently good because we're out of time.
Right. And I drank all of mine.
All your terrible wine?
Piper spilled a little. Well, yeah. I'm not going to. It's no spend January. New Year, same me. I'm going to drink this terrible wine because I opened it.
Well, thanks for joining us for another long-winded episode. Listening to our rantings and ravings. We'll be back with you next week with another author interview. So I would tell you who it was if I had the list in front of me, but I'm going to be real honest and I don't. Actually, I could look it up real quick. Bear with me for 1 second. Next week, we're interviewing TJ Thomas. So that will be up next Friday. Until then, have a great weekend and keep it classy. Bye.
Take a little time to enjoy the view.
What?
Wow. All right.
What view? What are you talking about?
Smell the roses.
From the view. From the view.
Okay.
I watched it.
Good.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.